I'm just going to read one scripture that stands for the reading of the word, and then we continue. I thank God for also my wife and my family and the Church of Curacao, and I bring greetings also from our church. If you will go to John chapter 3, famous scripture, but it's a very powerful scripture. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Father God, I pray this morning, Lord, let your spirit continue to move. Lord, I pray for your anointing. I pray that you will anoint me, my God, and use me, my God, as your spokesman, oh God. Lord, move me aside, oh God, and have your way. Lord, your spirit is so strong in here, and I pray, oh God, that you will help me to communicate the message you have laid upon my heart. Touch every heart here, my God. Move, my God. Do what you want to do, Father. Heal, Father. Deliver, my God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We just read a scripture, for God loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. We all use this verse when we tell someone about the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's something about the scripture, and there's something in God's DNA that we need to understand, because the Bible says that God gave his only begotten Son. So God has a plan with giving his only begotten Son. My question to you this morning is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is here this morning? Do you believe that Jesus Christ saves you? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And that he died and rose again? Now I have another question for you. Are we believing that he's coming back? The fact is that we are saved by God's grace. And we're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we should also believe in every word that he has spoken. Today, we're going to take a look at some of the parables of Jesus. What is a parable? A parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson as told by Jesus in the gospel. A parable is basically an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Their uniqueness is found in revealing the truth to those who are spiritual, while at the same time hiding it from the unbeliever. Parables may at times demand decisions. And this morning, the title of my message that the Lord has placed upon my heart, that is anointed, because I know that the title is "The Royal Invitation is Still Out." I need to laugh because there is an anointing upon this message, because I'll tell you later why I laugh, because I love to have joy, and I can't help it, you know. And sometimes you laugh because you think, and it's a good thing to be yourself. So praise God for that. So Christ speaks these parables in order to alert his true disciples to expect evil within the kingdom, and to teach them how to overcome the influence and opposition of Satan and his followers. Christ teaches that there will be a good and evil in his visible kingdom throughout the entire age. Among those who profess his name, there will be compromise and worldliness that leads to apostasy. What is apostasy? Falling away from the faith. We can overcome this through a wholehearted devotion to Christ, And life's committed to righteousness, faithfulness, and godliness that leads to eternal life. When the disciples asked Jesus, I want you to go with me in Matthew 13. It says in verse 10, the Bible says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given. Whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In verse 14, he says that, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you will see, but not perceive. For the hearts of the people will have grown dull, these ears are hard hearing, and the eyes they have are closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so I should heal them. That's what Jesus said. So we need to understand that the Bible speaks clearly. Jesus speaks clearly. You know, if we got, he gave us a warning that those who have talents, gifts, and God has given us to us, he has given us freely to us, and you know, and we follow his word and his plan, we will produce fruit. But it also says it will be taken away from him or her, those who have the gifts and don't use the gifts. The Bible says that in this is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You see, we got to understand one thing, brothers and sisters. Unwillingness on the part of the people to receive Jesus' message of the kingdom was the reason that he taught in parables. What happened? The truths of the kingdom of God were heard by them, but not understood. It was not because of he was hiding the truth from them, but it was because they didn't want to hear the truth. The truth of God is to be understood spiritually. That's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us, Jesus says in John 4:24, that God is spirit, and those who, my God, worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to understand that. You see, because Jesus spoke the parables to those who are interested in understanding the truth of his message, would understand, while those who are not interested would remain without understanding. In verse 16, he says, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears became because they hear. I want you to go with me, to verse 18. He says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. You know, there's a parable of the sower. My brother Reuben is going to put it on the screen for me, because we got to understand the parable of the sower is so important, because the Bible says here that when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked comes and snatches away that was sown in his heart. This is the who received the seed by the wayside. Can you put the first slide? This is the parable. Seeds fell by the path on the wayside. Then it says in verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But then he continues, he says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. But when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. That's the second one, the stony. We need to understand. Then he goes on, and he says, verse 22, so, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. That's the third one. You see, because we got to understand, church, We go to, Jesus is coming back, and in the last days there is pressure. This morning I read the daily devotion. We have a daily devotion, and it says we are under pressure. And as I watched the TV, I had Jimmy Evans says, you know, something about the church, that the church is under pressure. But I got news for you. When you could stand under pressure, when God has called you, when you have gone through hardship, then you become strong. Then you're gonna understand whatever God calls you, you might go for a season. The Bible says, man, the righteous falls 7 times, but he stands up again. Why? Because God is a great God. God is a powerful God. And we need to understand, doesn't matter what you go through. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I got news for you. The Bible says, the fourth one, he says, but he will receive the seed on good ground. As he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You got fruits in Holland. You got fruit in Germany. You got to catch it. You got to catch it this morning. You have fruit. You know why you have fruit? Because you have sown. As soon as you sown, you have fruit coming. Are you hearing me? Very important to know, church. You are blessed. You're blessed. And when you're blessed, you know, things are going to come your way, but you got to know that, man, I got to hold on to Jesus. You see, and we got to understand that. You know, in Luke 14, I want you to turn with me there. In Luke 14, there's another parable that Jesus taught. Luke 14. God got something for us, man. You got to hold on to it. You got to be like a pet bull in the spirit. Can't let it go, man. Everything the enemy throws, you know, you got to hold on to it. Luke 14, verse 15. Now, the parable of the great supper. Now, when one of those who sat at the table to him heard these things, he said, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent the servant at the supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to excuse me. Still another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to this master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes in the city and bring in here in the poor, bring the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, master, it's done as you commanded, and there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. So Jesus is teaching, because we need to understand that, you know, in this parable, a man planned a large banquet and sent out invitations. And the title of my message, I got to repeat it, the royal invitation is still out. Doesn't matter what you go through, the royal invitation is still out, because God has a plan. If you're here this morning, God has a plan with your life. And we need to start treasuring moments in our lives, moments that God has spoken, because we miss opportunities. But if you're here, I want you to tell your neighbor, I'm blessed. I'm here this morning. I'm blessed. Because God has a plan with your life. We need to understand that, man, he planned a large banquet and sent out an invitation. When the banquet was ready, he sent a servant to contact each of the invited guests, telling them that it was all ready and the meal was about to start. But here, you see, they were coming with all kinds of excuses. The first excuse, one after another, the guest made excuses for not coming. One had just bought a piece of land and said he had to go see it. My God, who's going to buy a piece of land and you didn't see it? You got to see it first, then buy it, ain't it? I don't buy no land that I never saw. Doesn't make sense, ain't it? Lord have mercy. Another had purchased some oxen. And he said he was on his way to yoke them and to try them out. My God, I'm not going to buy oxen before I then try out. I don't want to buy oxen that's lazy. It can pull nothing. My God, I got to find oxen. I got to see. I got to test it first, ain't it? Are you going to buy a car you never saw, you never drove? Lord have mercy. Mercy. All those excuses. Some of us, we got all kind of excuses. This morning, the Lord says, leave those excuses, brother, sister. Leave them excuses because I want to bless you. And it's all the excuses that comes and choke the word. All the excuses that come because you want to do your own thing. But God says, if you just obey me, I will bless you. I will open up the windows of heaven. I will bless you. The Bible says, what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what has entered into man's heart, he has man purpose for those who love him. Man, I could tell you, man, the devil is a liar. Man, I tell you, a while back, man, a few years back, 2008, we came to Curacao. We've been sent out 2006, man, and in 2007, I got very headaches, and they said, man, go take some blood out and check it out, and then they found out I have hepatitis C. Man, and they start giving me medicine, man, interferon, man. Man, I was getting sick. People say I'm going to die. But you know how the devil is a liar? The devil is a liar. And you got to understand, my brothers and sisters this morning, that whenever God has something for you, you're going to face opposition. But you got to know who God is. God is greater. He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than sickness. He can do all things. We need to catch that. We need to understand that. It's very important. Man, I'm telling you, those guys had all his excuses. Yes, and then Jesus ends the parable. He's saying, you know what? The master's determination that not one of them will be invited will not taste of his banquet. The master of the house is God, and the banquet is the kingdom. The invited, the guest, there was the Jewish nation. Man, can you imagine? Jesus came for the Jewish people and they didn't receive him. John, the first Gospel of John, verse 11, the Bible says he came which was his own, but they did not receive him. But those who receive him, he gave them, oh my God, he gave them the right to become his children. So we got to understand that God has a plan. You see, the excuses for skipping the banquet, they were laughable. One said, man, I'm going to buy land. Man, that's not good. That's not good. Man, nobody goes to buy something you didn't see. So we got to understand. Because God, I like the one from the newly married couple. My God. Oh, Lord. I'm married. You know what? Me and my wife, Pastor Sonny Sr., we had the privilege that married us in 1997. You know, he flew all the way from Amsterdam. Even a lot of people, pastors, don't want to believe, Pastor Sonny's going to marry you. Yes, he's going to marry me. And, you know, and you know what? I had the privilege to put it down in his calendar. He says, put it down in the multipurpose room in La Puente. He says, put it down, Johnny. Well, what the 26? I'm going to come with Julie, okay? And I put it down. And I remember, and he came and he married us. And then he had a United Weekend service that Saturday. We were married on Thursday. Saturday, we were in church. That Pastor Mitchell says, my God, Johnny couldn't go on a honeymoon. No, I couldn't go because I know who saved me. I know where I came from. I know when my founder is there. I got to take some of that anointing. I know I love Jesus because Jesus saved me. You see, if you want something, you got to go after it. You got to be a God chaser, you know. And I still owe my wife on a honeymoon. We're married 23 years this coming year. My God, I didn't go. I told her, sister, I'm going to put you, we're going to go on a cruise, but bear with me. 10 years go by. 15 years go by. 20 years. I said, listen, whatever is in they says, whatever is in Curacao, I said, lo cual tiene barí. So whatever is in the barrel, whatever is in the barrel, it won't lose. It's there. I don't know when it's going to come. It's going to come. Praise God. No, because God is faithful. It's going to come. But we need to understand that the excuses, we cannot make excuses. Because excuses, we will miss opportunities. You know, all those excuses, they reveal the insensitivity, not being interested on the part of those who were invited. Did you ever invite somebody who says, brother, come over? He says, well, no, I got things to do. But when Jesus invites you, you better be there. Let me tell you something. You know, they had a women's conference in Venezuela. And it was, I think, in 2010. And then Pastor Sonny calls me because we had problems with the airline. Pastor Sonny says, you know what, Johnny, I can't find tickets. I said, Pastor, I had problems with the airlines. He said, but Marlene got 3 tickets. She was going to go with 3 of the women. So if Sister Julie can't find no tickets, she can take the tickets from Marlene and from Sister Mitzi and Sister Maria. So they go 3 want to go. He says, okay. And then now, you got to listen to this. So they went, and then suddenly I got a phone call in the office. Marcia, my secretary, said, hey, Pastor Sonny, for you on the phone. I said, okay, hey, Pastor Johnny, you have time to go to fly with me to Aruba? I said, Pastor, if I have time, sure, I always have time. So it's an invitation. An invitation like that to go with my pastor in his plane with his 2 pilots and fly to Aruba just to have some fun. And then when we get there, he says, Marlene should come too. Let Marlene come. And then you go back. What I'm telling you, when you get invited, when the pastor asks you, come to my house. Like last night, I was crawling and I see, man, there's fight. I see some men there. You got to sit by the feet and by his feet and just says, feed me. Because by you being in the presence, God will move. Some people don't understand that. You're not serving men, you're serving God. Because you're serving God first, it's easy to serve men. But you got to know who's the anointed one. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? He's under the anointing. Your pastor is under the anointing. Some of you don't hear me. Your pastor is under the anointing. Are you hearing me? And you need to catch from that. You got to get fed from that. That's how you grow. Let me continue. We got to understand all those excuses. The interpretation is that the Jews of Jesus, they had no valid excuse for turning out his message. In fact, they had all reason to accept him as their Messiah and Savior. The master is not satisfied with a partially full banquet hall. He wants every place at the table to be filled. God is the Father. He's sending out his invitation to us today. Enter his kingdom. What are you doing with this invitation? What are you doing? You know, there's another. Can you put the other slide for me up there? The one that what kind of soil are you? Can you put it up there? Yeah. What type of soil are you? The pad, the rocky soil, the weedy soil, the good soil. Is God growing in your heart? It's very important. We do have all kinds of excuses too. Reasons where what we're not doing. What we have to do. The Bible says in verse 12, whoever still will be given more and he will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Why is it like serving? Like serving is not priority anymore. Why, church? Tell me. Why is it that people are not giving the way they're supposed to give? Why is it? What is happening? We live in the last days, but we need to know, why is it? The enemy tries to come in and choke the word because we're going to start doubting God. But the only way how you're going to make it is just saying, God, I trust you. I don't see it, but I trust you. Because this building, it came by faith. The building that we build in Curacao is by faith. It's stepping out. God, open the door. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I jump in it because you give me an opportunity. You know, I preached a message years ago. God's grace is forever, but opportunities are not. I've seen that in the mother church, being 11 years in the mother church, breaking down the tent, building La Puente. I've been there. My brother knows. We've been there, and I've seen that one time a brother, he's not even more in the ministry. Pastor Sonny asked him, "Hey, brother, can you help usher? Can you help usher tomorrow morning?" He says, "Pastor, I'll tell you morning." In the morning, he came. "Yeah, good." Pastor says, "No, it's already done. It's already done. You don't tell Pastor Sonny, I'll tell you in the morning. Are you good?" Something, all right. You got to understand, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Are you hearing me? You know, why it's like pulling teeth, man. Why? Before, the way we grew up, you see your pastor, he was moving, he was serving. Because when you serve, God's going to anoint you. God's going to open doors. But it's like serving is now, it's who's calling the shots. You know, man, brother, can you do this? No. You got to serve. You want God to bless you. We got to understand that. The Bible says that if we know what to do and not doing it, it's counted to us as sin. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Remember, the sin to know what you ought to do and you're not doing it. Those who ignore the invitation of the banquet, those who, they choose their own punishment. They will miss out. Because the master, God, he respects our choices by making it permanent. But you won't taste. We will not taste from his banquet. Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So we got to understand. We got to understand. And I'm going to be closing, okay? In closing, I want you guys to be with me, because I'm not a long-winded preacher. I'm going to be closing. In the name of Jesus. See, we got to understand. God is awesome. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Man, Jesus is coming back. Man, I'm telling you, man. That's why the pressure is on, man. Are you there? I'm going to read the parable of the wedding feast. Hallelujah. Oh, how many of you know that we are in a wedding feast? You know, did you see this? Do you see this table? This table is beautiful, huh? And I want to read the scripture, and then we're gonna build something out. The kingdom, the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and went out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out another servant saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fat cattle are killed, and all these things are ready. Come to my wedding." But they made light of it, and they went their ways, one of his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized the servants, treated him spitefully, and killed them. Now, but when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, as many you can find, invite them to the wedding." I'm going to invite those who are going to come to the wedding. You know, and I want the king also to come over here. We gotta build this out. We got to build this out. Here's the king. King, stand right here. Hallelujah. You guys take a seat. Thank you, Jesus. Take a seat, sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, take a seat too. We're at the wedding. Okay. I'm going to continue to read it because we got to understand what's happening. So now, When verse 6, and the rest ceased, his servants treated him spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came into see the guest, he saw the man there who did not have a wedding garment on. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the deeper darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but the few are chosen. So what happens here? All the excuses, we see the same, the people have the same excuses. They went further, they captured the servants and the king, mistreated them and killed them, verse 6. But if you read what happens in verse 11, but when the king came to see in the guest, he noticed that the man there was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get here? So, how did you get here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. In this case, we have a sister. She is speechless. She can't say nothing because all those are in the right wedding dresses. So I want you to put up for me the slide, Brother Reuben, because you got to understand what's happening here. Because God, he has a plan. And the man was speechless. The king told his attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but a few are chosen. Many who claim to be members of the kingdom of God on the earth will not wearing wedding clothes. And therefore, they cannot be among the chosen. Many Christians think that they can live their lives the way they want to, and they are going, and they're still going to enter the kingdom of God anyways. No, we have to live the way God wants us to live, brothers and sisters. If we want to enter Christ's banquet, we must put on the righteousness that the Lord gives us in Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:10. The king has given specific instructions regarding the wedding dress. Can you put a very important wedding, because this brother that you see there, he is a famous gospel singer. He got a lot of clips and videos on the island, and he sent us an invitation. The invitation was for Pastor John and Marlene Lund. He married Saturday, so yesterday I couldn't go, so I sent his father a message that we're not going to be in town, we're going to be in the U.S. So what happened, I want to make something clear. When you get an invitation for the wedding, they're giving instructions. Are you hearing me? Instructions has been given. And if you see here, the wedding dress, it says the dress code is elegant. So you got to understand, whenever God gives us instructions, we cannot do our own thing. Because the moment we do our own thing, we miss out the wedding. We're not invited. It doesn't matter how much you give to the poor. If you're not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, if your sins are not forgiven, if you don't live the way Jesus wants you to live, you're not going to enter. And I tell you, every pastor's nightmare is that, man, we want people to the Lord, but we want to enter. So in this time, we got to understand, church, you got to live the way Jesus wants us to live. The king has given specific instructions regarding the dress. So we need to understand, you know, if you're going somewhere and they ask a certain dress code, you got to wear the dress. Like, I don't know, tomorrow is Pastor Sonny's birthday. They have a dress code. And I said, I want to wear the dress code because I want to fit in.
I can't come with a red suit tomorrow or a blue suit. You're not going to fit in. And the reason why I'm saying that is if you don't have one, then try to get one so we can fit in. Are you hearing me? Because it's important. Because the lesson we can learn from those parables is, number one, the wedding garment symbolizes a condition of readiness. This sister that came to the feast without a wedding garment represents a condition of many in the world today. They profess to be Christians and they claim to be the blessings and have the privileges of the gospel, yet they feel no need for transformation of character. They never felt true repentance for sin. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Man, I tell you, man, these days, man, the Lord, man, is just breaking me in the mind. Because I got a word from Dick Mills, man, in 2004 in the green room in La Puente. And this word, if I look at this word, man, it sometimes these days it breaks me. I need to read it for you because it meant something. We're already done. Just be with me. But and Isaiah, I got to read it for you. I got to read it for you because when you get those kind of words, you don't understand right away what it means. But it says here, Isaiah 30, he says in verse 20, "And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved in a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left hand." And I didn't understand that. And he was there, and Pastor Sonny Jr. was there. And he says, "Who's this man?" And then he says, "Diversification." So, and I have all those. His wife wrote them down. But when you go through stuff, then you start understanding. What, my God. I mean, although the God gives you a bread of adversity, man, I could tell you, you go through stuff, but you got to keep on holding to Jesus. You might go through sickness. Man, when Pastor Sonny came in this May, he just flew. He came. He called me the 20th of February. He was in Puerto Rico. He said, "Johnny, where are you? Are you in Curacao?" I said, "Yeah, yes, but." He says, "I'm coming to see you tomorrow." He flew down with Sister Julie, and he didn't see our building yet because Pastor Sonny Jr., he dedicated the building in 2017. So he flew, and then, man, he saw the building. He says, "My God, Johnny, I got to do with you. First you were sick, and then you lost your daughter, and through all this, you built this building." I said, "Pastor, that's what you taught me. That's what you taught me. You got to press on. You got to continue to move forward. You got to press on regardless whatever comes your way. Sickness, death, you got to move on because there's a feast waiting for you. There's the invitation is still on. It's still on. And you know, whatever happens, you got to know that God is good. I didn't question God. No second. I didn't ask God why Rachel become sick. Yes, I cried. I still cry sometimes. But one thing I know, that God will give you the strength to continue. God will give you the strength to press forward. God will give you the strength to whatever happens. You're going to lay hands in the name of Jesus. You're going to touch people. You're going to say, Father God, you are the God that healed me. And I know you can heal. You brought me through it. The name of Jesus. He's a great God. He's a great God. The second wedding garment symbolizes that Christ has provided the wedding garment of his righteousness for everyone. You're clothed with righteousness. And if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to pray for you in a while. Number three, the wedding garment symbolizes the character which all must possess who shall be accounted fit guests for the wedding. God wants to touch our character. Some of us, we know how to do good, but still we hold back. And God says, "I want to bless you because it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. And God wants to bless you." And today, my prayer is, so you see, now the king is here. And the king is going to ask the sister to leave. Why? She didn't have the proper dress code. We got to have the proper dress code. Are you hearing me? Worship team, guys, come help me. I want you to play very soft. Even the drums. I know your hands. I'm a drummer to you. So I know it. But God wants to move. God wants to move. You know the song? When the music fades, heart of worship. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. You see, two invitations were sent out. The first was sent long before the celebration, so the people would have plenty of time to prepare themselves for the banquet. Those who were invited had received the original announcement. The second invitation was sent out to them to announce that the banquet was ready and they should come right away. Brothers and sisters, today the second invitation is still open. God wants each of us to go out there to invite the lost and those who are bound in the world to enter His kingdom so that we all can have a taste of His banquet. Or maybe you're here today and say, well, I do not fully enter in. Today is your day to fully enter in. Yeah. You're part of the second invitation. Yeah. God is gracious. Yeah. Because once the door is closed, no one can enter anymore. And Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And the Bible says He's going to come in a twinkle of an eye. So this morning, I have those who say, you know, I want a second invitation. I know that God has spoken to me. But man, I got to serve. I got to do. I got to use my gifts in the church. I got to do. I got to work. Man, I'm telling you, man, yesterday I was talking to Brother Ray. He says, you know what happened to the servanthood? Before, man, we used to go wash Pastor Sonny's car. We used to wash the pastor's car. We go clean his shoes. Man, I took Pastor Sonny's car to the garage. You know, whatever he asked me. He said, man, John, you know what? Because I know there's where the anointing flows. I flew with him. I'm not saying that, say this humbly. Different places in the world. Not because I'm somebody more. No, I know him to serve. And the spirit of, you know, that same spirit of serving is upon your pastor and his wife. The same spirit. Pastor Jesse, God's going to do mighty things. You know, God has called you to hold this man's hand. You know, all those men, you know, Jerry, all those powerful men. Man, I'm telling you, God is calling you because God is about to do something great. For the first time, I tell you, I'm in this ministry. I see a young church. You might be 40 years, but I know what it is to take a church over. I know exactly. But to see how it spread out to all the way to Europe, that God's anointed your pastor to become a regional. Not that he asked it, because hey, I'm a regional too. It comes with pressure. It comes with headaches. It comes with a lot of trials. But when God places you somewhere, don't move. You know, it's a point that I was saying, man, I don't know if I got to tell Pastor Sonny that maybe I can't be no regional. I don't want, you know, you come to, because the pressure, but I can tell you one thing. We got to go back to the heart of worship. When the music fades and all is stripped away, then I simply